There's no doubt that post-flood reconstruction is going to cost a lot of money. No one sneezes at $5.7 billion. But it's only about half the amount that state and federal governments spend every year on aged care. And costs are rising at the alarming rate of around 10% per annum, even though the sector has some of the lowest paid workers of any industry in the country. The number of Australians aged over 85 will quadruple by 2050, and providing for their care is one of the biggest policy dilemmas confronting the nation. If we're to build a sustainable system for the future, then structures need to be put in place now, which is why the federal government asked the Productivity Commission to inquire into the care of older Australians. The Commission's draft report has been released for public discussion, and to kick that process along, I'm joined by three people with a close professional interest in the issues. Lynn Hatfield-Dodds is the National Director of Uniting Care Australia, one of the country's largest providers of not-for-profit aged care services. And she was, incidentally, also the Greens Senate candidate for the ACT at the last federal election. Lynn Hatfield-Dodds, welcome to the National Interest.
Good afternoon, Peter.
Lee Thomas is Federal Secretary of the Australian Nursing Federation, obviously has a close interest given the number of nurses working in aged care. Lee Thomas, welcome to you.
Thank you, Peter.
And Professor Judith Sloan is an economist and the recently appointed Chair of National Seniors Australia. That's a consumer organisation for the over 50s with a quarter of a million members. Of course, Judith Sloan was also a former commissioner with the Productivity Commission, so she knows a lot about its reports. Judith Sloan, thanks for your time.
It's a pleasure, Peter.
Now, the Productivity Commission has used as a guiding principle the idea that aged care must be affordable, and affordable in two senses, both for the individual user of the system and for society as a whole. Professor Judith Sloan, do you think the Commission has struck the right balance in that regard in its recommendations?
Well, I think at a most general level, this is a report that is extremely welcome, and I think that those guiding principles are very important. I guess the theme, though, that comes out of it is that it is shifting from a system which has been focused on the providers to a system that then is focused on the consumers. And then the question comes, you know, how do you fund it? But I think that absolutely fundamental shift is incredibly welcome and one that will actually set the system up into the future.
But part of that shift is that if you take a more consumer focus, then consumers who can afford to should also contribute more to the cost of their care.
Well, I think that's right. And I guess in my new role as the Chairman of National Seniors, you know, we want to have a mature debate about that. We don't want the debate to stop at the point where co-payments and contributions are mentioned. Everyone wants a safety net. Everyone recognises that there are certain older people who will find it very difficult to contribute to the cost of their aged care. But at the same time, the criterion of fiscal responsibility is important, and therefore I think, you know, this draft report of the PC is very important to have that discussion about how those co-contributions can be arranged in a way that is acceptable.
Lynn Hatfield-Dodds from Uniting Care, do you think it's reasonable to expect those who can afford it to pay a larger share of the cost of their care in the future?
Well, I think it is, and Uniting Care thinks it is. I mean, there's a real resonance, isn't there, to the last conversation you were having about the flood levy and whether we just raise our general taxation rate, because I think the real question for Australia around aged care, as in flood recovery, is do we want to raise our general rate of taxation, so we raise our general taxation revenue, or are we going to have a more targeted revenue mechanism? And the Productivity Commission have recommended, we think, some pretty fair and equitable ways of people making co-contributions. And essentially it's about those Australians who can afford to pay as they can afford. There are some pretty good safety nets in the recommendations.
There is also, though, a consideration that the family home should be seen as an asset, and this has always been an area of great contention, but that, you know, the home should be an asset on which people can draw as part of that process of paying for their care.
Well, I guess people draw on their homes for all sorts of things. People draw on their homes to help their children finance their homes. They draw on their homes to take big overseas holidays. They draw on their homes to take a year off. I don't think the principle here is, you know, through the rest of our lives we're expected to pay for our accommodation when we can. And when we can't, we can access social or public housing through state-funded schemes. And that's the kind of approach the Commission is recommending. What is the case, I think, and it's very important people understand this, is right now under the current system, you may have to sell your home. Australians going into low care, residential care, too many of them are not forced to, but have to make the very difficult choice to sell their home to afford the accommodation bond. Under the new scheme that the Productivity Commission is putting forward, no one will have to sell their home unless they want to. So there are two options for the family home. You can either borrow money essentially from the government under a proposed aged care equity release scheme, or, and then if you do that, you can put the money you raise that you don't need for your accommodation bonds. If you choose to sell your home, you can put the money that you raise you don't need for your bonds and buy pension bonds, and that means that money is not counted towards your pension eligibility. So the Commission have come up with some very clever and elegant recommendations, I think, that mean that people don't have to sell their home and they won't lose their pension. And they're the two big things that worry people.
Lee Thomas from the Australian Nursing Federation, this push to a more customer-centred or consumer-centred system, is that something you welcome?
Oh, certainly. I think it's very important that consumers have choice. And we can see that some of the recommendations are certainly heading down that track. One of the particular interests that I have, of course, is access. And it looks like in the recommendations there's a streamlined gateway. You know, the aged care sector is very big and complex.
It is. I mean, anyone who's dealt with it or has tried to move, you know, looked at moving from the state provided care systems to the federally provided ones, it is a nightmare. I mean, we get people contacting us asking for advice here at the National Interest. So a simplified entry system is clearly a very welcome thing, isn't it?
Oh, there's absolutely no doubt that simplified navigation, a simplified gateway that provides information, care assessment and care coordination is going to be very valuable and will take some buy-in from not only the states and territories, but the coordinated approach with the Commonwealth.
So kind of one-stop shop that makes it very simple. It's easier said than done, I guess, though, isn't it?
I think that's the test. And I suspect that something like is being suggested would take some time to set up. And it's always the case, it's the devil in the detail, but I think it's really important that we do simplify access, that we do make it easy to navigate our way around this very big and complex system. You know, I think about my mum and dad, and I'm fairly connected, and I think that I would struggle in the current environment to navigate my way through the system as it stands.
Professor Judith Sloan, there's a lot of talk in the Productivity Commission report about increasing the level of choice, so people have a greater range of choices, and reducing the level of regulation, for example, in the number of aged care places that governments funds each year. But is there a danger in doing that we could end up with a kind of two-tier system? We have a safety net on the one hand, and then we have, you know, aged care with all the frills for those who can afford it?
Well, I think the reality is that we have a multi-tiered system at the moment. And, you know, speaking as an economist, we have a pretty lousy system when people can't actually access the provision of any service. So, you know, it's not as if, you know, you transform to some paradise. But, you know, I think the interesting thing about the context of this debate is that everyone, absolutely everyone, recognises the weakness of the current system. Particularly the completely uneven treatment of old people, depending how they're accessing service, be it in their home or be it low care or high care. The sort of the differentiation in terms of, you know, what is provided and the cost and the like are just extraordinary. So, you know, I think you make a very valid point. You know, the implementation will be difficult. And I think the Productivity Commission is making, I think, some very measured suggestions about having, in a sense, a phased-in process. But I think the days where the Commonwealth Department of Health sort of from Canberra allocate bed licences on certain terms. Those days are over, I think, because we know that that's not working. We know now that providers are finding them very unattractive and the bed licences are actually not even being taken up. So, I mean, I think the other interesting thing is that we've probably learned quite a lot from childcare, as a matter of fact. You know, this is kind of moving in the direction of the childcare model, but there were obviously a few hiccups along the way too. So, you know, I think the fact that there is a phased implementation means that, you know, there is a lot of common sense in this report.
That's an interesting analogy you draw with childcare because, of course, we did see the collapse of a lot of private childcare providers. I presume you're not suggesting that's going to happen in aged care.
No, and I think, you know, you can sort of learn the lessons from that. It is, of course, a slightly different industry in the sense that it is a very mixed industry with a lot of not-for-profit, including, of course, Lynn representing a large group. The mums and dads have probably been by and large forced out of this industry through regulation. And I think, though, it is important now to sort of sit back and sort of think about regulation and think of it in terms of a risk management approach. I know my organisation is always keen to quote the example of the New South Wales regulation where you have to boil an egg for 17 minutes in nursing homes because once upon a time someone got poisoned from a raw egg.
So no soft yolks in New South Wales aged care.
No edible eggs either, I guess. You know, that kind of prescriptive regulation is ridiculous and costly. So you need to move to some sort of risk management model of regulation because this is also an industry which has been ridiculously overregulated.
Lynn Hatfield-Dodds, there will be an obligation on providers to make a proportion of their beds available to low-income residents who will be supported by government funding. But can this sort of thing be guaranteed? Because I notice it's done on a regional basis and you can trade away, you know, providers can trade away that obligation if they want to. So, again, I can see a system emerging where you have a kind of very two-tier type of nursing home.
Look, at the moment there are quotas and certainly Uniting Care and the other church-based providers think those quotas are a very important thing. Probably the Uniting Church, Uniting Care are less concerned about a two or a multi-tiered system than we are concerned that the floor or the basic service and support that's available to Australians is good enough. We don't want a barely decent system. We want a really good system so that any Australian can access really good quality aged care supports and services in the community or in residential care where they need it and when they need it. And that's about the choice and access. And that's incredibly important. From there, as in the rest of our lives currently in Australia, people can choose. You know, if people choose before they need aged care to buy a very large house in the northern suburbs of Sydney or inner city Melbourne or Perth CBD or whatever it is and put a big swimming pool in the helipad on the roof, that's okay. And I think we have to kind of take that approach to aged care. And I think from a policy perspective, from a perspective of focus on the person, we just need to make sure that anybody coming in, the poorest of Australians, the most vulnerable, the most disadvantaged of Australians, can get really good care. And if that's the case, it's going to be okay. In terms of trading quotas across a region, we need to look more at the detail of that, but certainly the principle is okay. At the moment in the aged care sector, there are two very different sorts of aged care providers, the not-for-profit providers and those profit-driven providers. And I think each of those organisations are driven by different incentives and disincentives. I think it's likely once these quotas are tradable, it's almost inevitable that it's the not-for-profit providers that will pick up more of them. And that's okay because we actually exist in large part to provide services to people who can't afford to get them anywhere else. So I think as long as the system overall ensures that disadvantaged and vulnerable Australians can get what they need, that's what we need to focus on.
This is The National Interest on ABC Radio National. We're discussing the Productivity Commission's recommendations on reforming aged care with Lynn Hatfield-Dodds, who's the National Director of Uniting Care Australia, economist and chairman of National Seniors Australia, Professor Judith Sloan, and Lee Thomas, Federal Secretary of the Australian Nursing Federation. And I want to come back to you, Lee Thomas, and we heard the analogy with childcare. One of the things that exists in childcare is a mandated ratio between the number of children and the number of carers. there's no such thing in aged care, and the Productivity Commission says it's not necessary.
That's absolutely right, Peter. There is a mandated minimum in childcare of one carer to, you know, five children under three. And in New South Wales, just last week, that was dropped to one carer for four children under 3 years.
And I guess there's similar ratios in hospitals and things like that.
In some states, there certainly are. And, of course, there's just been a big dispute in New South Wales to get nurse to patient ratios. In aged care, there is no such a minimum available, and certainly the Productivity Commission have not gone to that in any of their recommendations. We think that's a bit disappointing, frankly, given that care and the provision of that care ultimately is what people are there for. So we would be asking, and we will continue to ask through the hearing process with the Productivity Commission, to really consider minimum hours of care per resident per day and the staff with the right skills in the right numbers available to provide that care to an ever-increasing and very complex group of residents in residential care.
Judith Sloan, is that the sort of regulation you would support within the aged care system? Because I think your organisation commissioned a report recently from Access Economics, which found that standards in aged care were going down as ratios between between residents and staff increased.
Well, I think, you know, we have an open mind about it, and I think it is important to debate it. I mean, my sort of first reaction is to think that that kind of approach is very prescriptive, and that in a sense what you're aiming for is high quality care, and there may be several ways of achieving that, but you know, I think there needs to be some debate about it. We're very concerned about the pay gap between nurses in aged care and the public hospitals in particular, because I think that has some consequences in terms of supply and possibly even in terms of the quality of the nurses that offer themselves in aged care, and that seems to me a very big issue. So I think we keep an open mind about that, but by and large, I think centrally determined prescriptive standards, you know, will sit rather uneasily with a lot of the sector.
Lynn Hatfield-Dodds, the wages in aged care, as we've just heard, are very low, not just for nurses, but even more so for carers' assistants. And the workforce needs to triple in size by 2050. Now, that's not going to happen unless the conditions improve and wages improve. Is there anything in the Productivity Commission report to deal with that side of the aged care system?
There's a few recommendations. There's not a lot of solid recommendations. I mean, essentially, the report's recommendations say we need to address workforce, we need to address remuneration and conditions, we need to address skills development for the workforce, but it's fairly non-prescriptive. Uniting Care is very concerned about that. Our staff across the country work really hard. They do their jobs not for the pay and not for the glory. They do their jobs because they really care. And you know, everybody's heard the gap for nurses between residential care and acute care is up to 30%. It's pretty extraordinary. So we do need to fix that. But I guess our concern would be that, as Judith said, we move to address those issues of decent pay for great work that people are doing in the aged care sector, but we do it in as non-prescriptive a way as possible. We don't want to prescribe the input end of the system. What we do want to keep saying is a focus on the aged care consumer and a focus on their quality of life outcomes. So if we can make that the centre of our kind of quality framework, I think we're going to be a lot better off.
Well, it's also the case that about 80% of care is actually provided informally and for free. I mean, it's provided by family, by neighbours, by friends. Does the report do enough to recognise that side of things, Judith Sloan?
Well, it of course recognises the relative diminution in the possibilities of informal care, in part, and I have written about this, in part because of the growing participation of older women in the workforce. So, you know, women in my category in their 50s in the past tended not to work, but of course they do work now, and so I'm not available to look after my old and frail mother. Luckily I have a couple of sisters. But, you know, that is a real issue, because if you looked at who was providing the informal care, it's basically in two categories. the partner, the husband or wife, and oftentimes, of course, it will be the wife because the husband goes downhill first. But then often daughters-in-law, nieces and the like, and that particular supply is likely to decline, relatively speaking. I think there's quite some interesting discussion in the report, though, and I agree with this, of the need to further support carers. You know, I think there is a recognition that there is greater complexity with chronic conditions and the like, that just being a well-intentioned informal carer may not necessarily cut the mustard. So I think those ideas, I think, are quite sensible and ultimately could, of course, be very cost-effective for the Commonwealth. If we give the carers just a bit of support, they still provide the bulk of care for aged Australians.
Well, it's certainly a cheaper option than residential care, isn't it?
Well, and it's not just that it's cheaper. People prefer it. I mean, it's really interesting what's happened is that basically the trends are that people want to stay at home for as long as possible. So, you know, the popularity of, you know, low-care accommodation has declined and people, of course, have no choice by and large to go into high care. So I think, you know, the gap there is how do we support people stay in their homes for longer, because people like to do that. And that, I think, is where the story of supporting the carers comes in. Mm.
Lee Thomas from the Nursing Federation, beyond the issues of funding and staffing and so on, one of the other recommendations from the Productivity Commission is that there should be a new independent regulatory body, so something outside the Department of Health and Ageing, which obviously funds aged care, and this body would deal with things like complaints and compliance. How important is that?
Look, we would be very supportive of something like that. For a very long time now, there have been issues raised not only by nurses and assistants in nursing working in the sector, but also residents and families, particularly in terms of complaints. This independent body, I think, would be seen as being a very good vehicle for being able to deal with those complaints. It talks about conciliation and mediation. That really is the kind of process that we would support. It's a very difficult time when you've got a relative, a loved one in residential care. And I think, you know, we really need to make it as easy as possible for people to be able to get the care that they want in the right manner, give them the choice, but also when things do go a little bit astray, that there's somebody there who can assist with those issues as well.
It's one thing to have the recommendations from the Commission, it's another to actually implement them. And it's many governments in the past have avoided tackling the aged care issue because it is difficult and because it involves asking people to pay more for their care and perhaps tap the wealth in the family home. So clearly decisive action is going to be needed in this area. Do you think the government, and I'll come to you, Lee Thomas, first on this, do you think the government will have the fortitude to implement these recommendations?
We're very hopeful that the government will. Every day that we delay in dealing with the big issues in aged care, whether it's residential or community, is another day that somebody doesn't receive care, or somebody, you know, is missed out of the system, or somebody can't access the system, can't navigate their way through it, or in our case, nurses and assistants in nursing are voting with their feet and leaving the sector because of a range of wage and workload issues. They want to provide care. That's what they're there for. People come to care because they need it. Let's make it as easy as possible. I think this government needs to get on and do it.
Lynn Hatfield-Dodds, how confident are you that action we'll see action this year on this issue?
Look, I too, I don't know about this year, but certainly over the next 18 months, I hope we would, this parliamentary term. We certainly have a reforming minister. Mark Butler's been very clear that, like all of us, he believes the aged care system needs a big overhaul. We have a report sitting in front of us, a draft report with a suite of recommendations that would deliver that. And we've got a prime minister who seems to be cranking up into reform mode and standing firm. So I'm very hopeful.
Judith Sloan?
Yes, I am. And, you know, I agree with the you know, the calibre of the minister. I think he's showing real signs of wanting to reform this. I think the idea that, you know, you take the heat away from the minister by creating a regulatory agency is important, because in the past the Minister for Ageing has sort of been held responsible for mishaps in nursing homes in Mordi Alec. Well, that just is a hopeless arrangement, and you'll never get reform in that arrangement. So, you know, I'm very optimistic that they will bite the bullet, but there will be a transition, and I just would make the point, now representing a group of seniors, communication, communication, communication. We've had people ring up already saying, when do I have to sell my home? So, you know, that I think will be a political task as well.
Judith Sloan, thank you. And thank you also to Lynn Hatfield-Dodds and to Lee Thomas.
Thanks, Peter.
Lynn Hatfield-Dodds is National Director of Uniting Care Australia. Lee Thomas is Federal Secretary of the Australian Nursing Federation, and Judith Sloan is an economist and the Chairman of National Seniors Australia. We'll put a link to the Productivity Commission report on the National Interest website, abc.net.au/rn/national interest, and of course we'd welcome your thoughts. Click the Add Your Comment tag to contribute. Or call the feedback line 1300 936 222.